The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. No Greg, no Curtis. Wiggy's here. I'm here. Razor's here. Shime Jackson. We've got Jaden in the house, Wiggy's son. I've never heard that rendition of any type of song, well, Shime. So Jim Carrey on it. But who is the lead?
That would be Busta Rhymes.
I know that.
Okay. Yeah.
Where did Busta Rhymes come from? Like, he's in, like, the Walmart commercial?
Yes.
Has he been around for a while? Like,
Busta Rhymes?
No, I know back in the day. But did he go away and then come back?
He's always been around.
All the way till now.
Yeah.
And
he's always
more mainstream again?
Well, no, he's always been kind of, like, mainstream, you know, big in the hip-hop music industry. So he's kind of always...
Bit of a resurgence, though, I'd say.
I would say that the commercial maybe made him a little bit more mainstream. Rather, if he just kind of following his music element of that a little bit, like in the past several years, you know, he's still doing music, but I think
he dropped an album last year and toured last year.
There you go.
I would say that he hasn't had any of those big hits that he had.
He was a monster in the late
90s. So, the past couple of years, he's still dropping music, but it's more of, I think people are like, oh, Busta.
I saw him on TV. I'm like,
he's on the Walmart commercial.
All right, well, we are in the middle of the news, and we are going to get back with an irrational fear unlocked. More than 170 snowboarders and skiers had to be rescued in Colorado over the weekend after a ski lift cracked. Winter Park Resort's gondola, about 70 miles west of Denver, cracked on Saturday, leaving 174 hanging in the air. If you're watching on Twitch, Mitch has the video of these people having to be harnessed down from the gondolas. It took 5 hours for everybody to be rescued. The entire situation is under investigation. No one was injured, luckily. And other lifts are still going at this resort, so the mountain is open. But this... is terrifying. You're in a gondola, you think it's so cool, so pretty, if something cracks, and then you're up there for 5 hours just wondering when the next drop is going to happen. Terrifying.
The regular chairlifts are just as terrifying for me. Like and again, never thought about it when you're a kid or younger, but now I get on there and I'm like thinking of all the ways I can fall out of this thing and break my leg.
Or if you're on one that doesn't have a bar that comes down.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Terrifying.
You just sit in there and starts swaying back and forth. The wind starts blowing.
I saw this movie.
I think it's more than irrational.
It's a real fear.
If you want looking for something to do, I saw this movie. It was called Frozen, I think. And it's about these people who get stuck.
You were talking about like the animated
No, and they get stuck on a ski lift at the ski resort. They're like, all right, we're going to take one last run before they shut it down for the night. And they get up there and they get stuck. And then all of a sudden the ski resort, like it all goes black.
Oh.
And so the movie is them stuck on this. I think it's two people stuck on this like little ski chair that you're talking about. And it's just like, how they're trying to get off of it and down, because if not, they're going to die because it's so cold and this is a big storm coming. Yeah, so it was pretty – that would make you not want to go on a ski lift.
Yeah, that's always the case, though, in movies, right? It's like the last run, or like in Jaws, taking like one last dip in the ocean.
Right. Oh. Yeah, bad. I do not want to get stuck. I'm always scared to go on those things, though. You said if they break and they're that high up,
yeah,
forget about it.
Very scary. Do you have an irrational fear, like a real one?
Oh, I'm sure I do. I don't.
Well, mine, I believe Christian.
No, you have a lot of them. I hear. Well, them
yeah,
the
but
time,
no,
yeah.
But like my legit one is being in a pool and feeling like there's a shark.
Yeah, that one is weird, like a shark in a pool. I don't get that
When I was younger, it was like if I was ever swimming at night, I would start hearing the Jaws soundtrack in my head, and I would have to, and in a bathtub too. Like I remember being younger in a bathtub with bubbles, and then I would just start thinking about it, and I would have to get out of the tub.
I definitely younger was like the lights out in the basement and then running up the stairs as fast as you could.
Yeah.
You know, like but I don't know if that counts.
But that's like a murderer. That could happen.
Yeah, that's not irrational at all.
That could really happen. Yes. A shark in a pool, I don't know. Yeah. Or a shark in a bathtub, I can't see that one happening.
Can never happen. But yeah, that's mine. Weird. Yes. Jeff Bezos is speaking out denying reports that he is getting married to Lauren Sanchez this week in a $600 million wedding in Aspen, Colorado. TMZ had the story. It was everywhere. I know Greg sent it to us saying just $600 million. I mean, Bezos is worth $230+ billion. So $600 million's a drop in the bucket for him. Mm-hmm. I do, when he's now denying it, I definitely think it's happening now. He took to X. He said, this whole thing is completely false. None of this is happening. The old age, don't believe everything you read, is even more true today than it ever has been.
But even with that, you got that type of bread. Even with $600 million, what could you do that is like so elaborate that, or like, what type of wedding could you plan that would cost $600 million?
Well, I mean, Aspen, Colorado is going to be expensive anyway.
Yeah, but I don't care how expensive it is.
Like, everybody's getting a Lamborghini.
No,
yeah, $600 million.
Even then, it's still like even more. What could you possibly? Because when I heard that $600 million, you see some of these elaborate weddings, they're like $5-10 million.
Yeah. I bet Courtney can tell us.
There was a girl in Paris who just had one, and I think it was like $40 million.
Yeah, but that's $560 million.
But she didn't have like a big name artist perform. I bet Bezos will have a few.
But I mean, you would need like 20.
No, but
you
I'm
would
not,
need Beyonce. Yeah. Taylor Swift,
yes.
Rihanna.
But I'm not just saying that. I bet they would fly everybody private. Whoever's coming to the wedding, say they're having 300 people, everybody's probably, you know, there's 5 people to a plane. They're flying people private there. He's probably, it's Aspen, Colorado, buying out Hotel Jerome, which is like one of the nicest hotels in the world.
We're talking $600 million.
It adds up, though.
Yeah.
You're planning a wedding.
Yeah, but not like even if you added it up, $600 million, that's like
$100 million is crazy.
No, I agree.
Right.
I'm just thinking Jeff Bezos, the world is his oyster. He could bring any artist in. He could fly everybody private. No guest needs to worry about a single thing for this weekend. He's probably dressing all of them. I don't know.
But even then, unless you're buying out Dubai and like, listen, all right, we're buying Dubai and everybody that's there, we're shipping them out. I just, when I heard that number, I was like, there's no way. Because you see some of these elaborate weddings and you're like 40, even 50 million. And like, then you're thinking like 600 million.
Yeah, you're right.
50 million is like a lot,
right?
But you can get to 50 million. Yeah. I agree with you. You could find a way to get to 50 million.
Right.
As crazy as that is, 600 million is 550 more than 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Well, he's saying it's not true.
Oh.
All false.
I believe that he
should not get married.
Yeah, I believe it's not true.
He's definitely going to get married.
Why?
That Lauren, he bought a yacht and put her like body as the
so there you go. That's
the
wedding. Yeah. That's the wedding.
Yeah. I don't know.
Don't do it.
Yeah, she's living a good life.
Yeah, she is.
She sure is. So is the ex-wife.
Yeah. we already talked about all of our holiday plans, so I don't believe anybody has to worry about it here. But to help those listening who may be traveling this week for the holidays, AAA has released the best and worst times to travel for Christmas and New Year's. So AAA projects more than 119 million Americans will travel for the holiday between December 21st and January 1st, over 50 miles. I mean, everybody's going to be driving somewhere, but over 50 miles, they're saying that number. Last weekend and next weekend are expected to be the worst times to travel, with NYC, Seattle, Washington, D.C., and yes, here in Boston, are expected to have double the delay times next weekend. So just like stay home during that time if you can. We can hear from AAA Northeast spokesperson Mark Shildrop on BZ.
Overall, we've seen a pretty strong volume, which is what we forecasted, a record number of people traveling this year. There was a storm system that affected, you know, a good swath of the country. So Chicago and Boston are two major hub airports. So anytime you have delays or cancellations in one part of the country, we often see a little bit of a domino effect.
Yeah. So going to be tough next year.
Yeah, I would always say leave well before and then to wherever you're going and then stay there and come back.
Yeah.
You know, if you could do that, you know what I mean? I guess.
Don't get the late flight. Never get the late flight.
Yeah. We were bopping around yesterday. I didn't think the traffic was that bad yesterday. And this morning, I mean, it's so early when we're driving here, but there was nobody really on the road. So.
But there was, it was, I felt like when I was coming up 93, and you know where you're coming up like that split, you just passed the Braintree exit there. I felt like coming into the city was
there were a lot of people coming in.
Yeah, it was like, and normally maybe because we left a little bit later.
Yeah,
but normally I feel like there's not that many people on that side.
Oh yeah, good to let everybody know why we don't have Boomer Esiason. He's already on break, well deserved break for Boomer Esiason. First year that he's really had the holidays with families in quite some time. So he is not on today. That's why you didn't hear from him yet this morning. And we are going to end with NORAD, who is set to track Santa Claus for the 69th year this week. You can track Santa at NORADSanta.org. We're 19 hours out from the start of Santa's track. We can hear from Chief NORAD Media Operations Major Jenny Derrance.
It's just a really beautiful sense of camaraderie, community, Christmas spirit, cooperation, sort of goodwill, and very positive vibes all across the board. So it's just so nice to be a part of it. It's just such a nice thing to bring everybody together. You know, whatever your background, wherever you are in the world, you can participate.
It's very cool, too. I'm on the website right now. We've got 19 hours, 44 minutes, 20 seconds. So if you're a little one or even you're an adult and you want to see where Santa is, you can go on NORADSanta.org and you can see track him starting in 19 hours.
Reza, you how old are your kids? You're
15 and 11.
Okay. Are they early Christmas morning risers?
The 11-year-old, yes, we still, because of the 11-year-old, okay. We're still there. We're still up. We don't have a sleep-in schedule quite yet.
All right, so they're still early morning.
But it's not 5 a.m. early like they were 5 years ago. It's like the normal 6:37. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I'll be up fairly early.
Like this one here?
Yeah, 12.
He's an early morning Christmas day. He loves getting up going early when Santa.
Love it.
Even at this age.
Love it.
Yeah. I don't have siblings. So if you have siblings, though, you have to wait for everybody else to wake up?
No, we're on
his. Oh, no, you wake everybody.
We're on his schedule.
All right. Yeah, like but
that early when I'm this age.
No, you're still
though,
early.
Definitely.
You're the one waking the house up.
Yeah.
I wake the house up, not like back then I used to wake the house up real early.
So what time you wake the house up now?
Well, Charlie likes to sleep a lot.
Right, but you get up. Sleep. But you get up at what? 6 a.m.
No, not 6 a.m. Probably like 10 o'clock.
No,
not at this
10
age.
Not at early. This age.
No, he's still like around 6, 7 a.m.
Not at this age.
Yeah, get going. Let's get our presents.
Listen, the presents still going to be there come 10, 11.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, they will. All right. Well, that was the news this morning. Thanks, everybody, for partaking. And we are going to get to some calls after the break. But right now, we got to get to what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Patriots drop a close one with the Bills 24-21. The final with the Pats leading in the first half. A scoreless third for New England with Buffalo scoring 10 was the start of the end. Drake May completed 22 of 36 passes for 261 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. After the game, Drake wanted to make it abundantly clear about the team's feelings towards Jerod Mayo.
Yeah, just trying to block out that noise. You know, I think it's a bunch of conversations about our coaching staff and stuff like that. I think it's some BS, to be quite honest. Coach Mayo's, we got, like I said, we got his back, and his coach is hard. He wants to win. We all want to win. We're all frustrated. AVP's been, I feel calling great the past weeks. We're just plays away, and especially me turning the ball over. I think it's just a testament to these guys that keep fighting. We're not going to make the playoffs. We're out of the race, and these guys are keep coming in, and I'm frustrated when we don't score, and they got energy at practice, and they got energy coming to the game, and we want to win. There's guys not even playing that are yelling on the sidelines and wanting to win, so I think we're building something good, building something that feels right here, and I'm proud to be a Patriot.
Monday Night Football, we'll see the Saints at the Packers tonight, 8:15 kickoff. Shime, Wiggy, any parlays for this one?
I got nothing.
For the Saints-Packers?
Yeah.
I'll go Moneyline Packers.
All right.
Yeah, that's minus 950, so have fun with that.
And
it's
I'll
just
go,
way too big of a spread.
I'll go Jordan Love, 2+ passing touchdowns.
Okay.
Ooh, I like that.
Is what I would definitely do. I would probably go Jacobs, anytime TD.
Okay.
I'd stay on top of that. And I'd go anytime TD for Alvin Kamara.
So the
Kamara's not playing.
Oh, he's not playing?
Nope. Kendre Miller anytime touchdown, Wiggy?
What's his name? Is Hill playing? Taysom Hill?
No, he is also out.
Damn.
Yeah, the Saints have nobody.
They have nobody.
Like, if you're going to bet, just bet on Packers, I guess.
Yeah, because who's even starting a quarterback for the Saints?
I believe it is Spencer Rattler.
Oh, yes, that's right. They put him in late in the game last time they played.
Bet on a Spencer Rattler interception would be my guess.
All right.
Well, the parlay playboy is still in effect, though.
Yeah, we had a tough weekend.
Okay.
Thanks to this one to my left over here, because he was all over. He was all over the SMU game. Yeah. All over it. Take SMU. Take SMU. Take SMU. So we took SMU with, part of our parlay, and they were few minutes of the game after they didn't get their fourth down conversion.
They didn't even give you a buyout option.
No, the fourth down conversion kid should have ran, but he threw it and it was incomplete. It was all downhill from there. Mm. It was 28-9 at halftime, right?
I felt pretty confident in most of my picks.
Yeah, well, they weren't very good.
Yeah,
we lost SMU. We lost Tennessee.
Oh.
And we had Notre Dame and we had
Texas,
yeah.
And we had Baltimore.
And we had Baltimore, and we took Houston.
Yeah.
How about Clemson? First time ever that those two schools have ever faced off. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. That is.
That was the best game of the weekend kind of matchup.
It really wasn't even that close.
Is there going to be close games in the next round?
Well, the next round will be Notre Dame, Georgia.
Great game.
A great game. Isn't Georgia going to blow the doors off Notre
Dame? Georgia's quarterback, Carson Beck's out, so they get the backup in.
All right.
Then it's Boise State and Penn State.
Okay.
That's the Genty kid. And then it's Ohio State and
Oregon.
That'll
rematch. And then Texas and Arizona State.
Texas should roll.
Texas will smoke them, right?
Yeah, Texas looks good.
14-point favorites, I believe, in that one.
Got it.
All right, well, the Celtics are back in action tonight after beating the Bulls on Saturday. They have the Magic in Orlando, 7 p.m. tip, and the Bruins beat the Sabres on Saturday. They have the Capitals tonight at the TD Garden. Puck drop is at 7. And experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. That's what's trending. Here's Shine with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is currently 11 degrees here in the city of Boston. Ugh. The high today is only 26. It's mostly sunny, but if you have a remote car starter, I would highly recommend doing that before stepping outside because it is a frigid one out there today.
Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. Wiggy in, Courtney, myself in, Razor in, Shime, Jackson, we're all here. Curtis and Greg, both off for the holiday, well-deserved. That was Ian Rappaport speaking about Jerod Mayo and his future and what the Crafts feel about Jerod Mayo being the guy for the future here in New England. We've heard a lot of reports back and forth. I thought Wiggy made a great point at the top of the show that at this point, stop using any type of media member as a mouthpiece. The Kraft should come out and say, Jerod Mayo is the future. We believe in Jerod Mayo. We want him here for a bit.
Well, that's what I think they would say, right? I think they would say, because there's so much speculation around, Jerod Mayo and is he on the hot seat? Or it's how does he have to perform these last three, or the team, how does the team have to do in order for his job to be safe versus not being safe? So there's just so much stuff going on where I think if the Crafts were to come out and just be like, hey, Gerard's our guy. We knew there was going to be some hurdles. And for us, he's our guy moving forward.
Now, at this point, though, like, the State of the Union is going to be 2 games after the season. So you're essentially 2 weeks away from them doing that now. At this point now, why not just wait till we do that rather than they come out and say something, you lose 70-0 the next 2 games, and then they're still going to have to deal with it, I guess, my point. Like Jerry Jones, you brought it up. He did that with McCarthy 6 weeks ago. They probably should have done it 6 weeks ago and just said, hey, let's get this out of here, like, because of the distraction. But at this point now, does anyone really benefit? Is the narrative going to change?
Well, I would say this, Razor, right? Is there a possibility that they fire Mayo after the season?
I don't think so.
Right. So if there's a possibility, then you wait. I get it. You're waiting till.
Yeah. No. I hear what you're. Yeah. I get it. But I guess to the point of like, people are still that think Mayo's going to get fired or say that Mayo's going to get fired are probably going to say, the Crafts are just doing it so no one says anything. I think it can still happen.
Right. No, like, I get that, but it's a little bit if you come out and say it, and I know we're talking about with Jerry Jones, but like McCarthy's on the last year of his deal. It's Mayo's a first-year head coach. So it's a little bit different situation where because even with McCarthy, you're still like, well – if you're not going to fire him, why not give him a new contract, right? But with Mayo, it's first year, and there's already these reports like he's on the hot seat.
And just take the narrative out of our hands. Take it out of anybody that's speaking on radio, TV, any fan's mouth. Like, if the Crafts just come out, I don't care if there's 2 games left of the season and nothing's really going to change. Them showing that they have any type of hope in Gerard Mayo and Gerard Mayo being the guy, I think that just eliminates so much pressure off of players, off of staff that are constantly having to be asked about it. I believe Gino is on the phone right now, Shime, in Dorchester.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my calls. Happy holidays to you guys.
You too. Good morning.
Good morning. I just got to say, I'm really getting sick of the negativity surrounding Gerard Mayo. If you look at this last game, I don't think coaching had anything to do with it. I think it was players. Just simply put, we don't have enough talent. So, you know, it's really getting under my skin, not just you guys, but the entire landscape of Patriots media is just crushing our boy Mayo because, you remember, we're going to burn some cash. Who's in control of that? Imagine if Greg and Curtis and those guys took away the best mics you guys have, the best, you know, your Twitch account, like, and they're, hey, just go work with this, you know, stop blaming him. It's the players. It's the team that was put together. You know, I just think we need to give him at least another year or two. No coach in the world can coach this team at all. And, you know, I would just like to hear your thoughts on that, guys.
Thank you, Gino.
Well, that's always been, I think, you and myself, our narrative, like, we've thought that. And I think Greg is more of the way Mayo has done things.
Greg and Curtis don't like the way in which he interacts with media and walks things back, along with mistakes he's made on the field.
Yes.
Shime, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said that he was soft, coaching scared. I don't know where you fall, where you want him to go or not. I don't think he looked like he was coaching scared yesterday, but...
Well, I mean, in the first half they weren't, but in the second half it went back to old habits, and it looked kind of ugly, and it wasn't great. And I mean, look, I think the majority of the season, they've coached scared. They coached not to lose instead of coaching to try and win a football game, which is, in my opinion, just not how it should be done. But I've always believed that he'll be back. I just think it would look awful for the Crafts to put him in a, like, unwinnable situation and then fire him after a season when they knew he had no experience and they put him on a team that had very little talent.
And I think the other thing with the situation is some of it, I get it, he brought on himself is because the way he communicates with the media in the sense where he'll be like when he says, and we've talked about it, it's like, oh, this team is, you know, we were soft. Like, as a player, you know what that means. But maybe as somebody who doesn't play the game and never been there, They don't know what that means, and then he has to walk that back. Or he says, well, once you get on the field between those white lines, there's nothing I can do. Like, as a player, we get it, but the fans don't get it. So I think the biggest thing for him, where a lot of people have kind of said maybe he's not ready, has been a lot more about the way he's handled the things that he said to the media and then had to walk those
back. Which is crazy to me. Like, he's a guy who talks with passion. He's a guy who, you know, talks in the moment and probably doesn't think or script out what he's going to say. I'm fine with that. And I think that Patriots fans, as a whole, we are spoiled and we're mad no matter what. We were mad when Bill Belichick was losing and was not giving the media anything. Now we're mad that Gerard Mayo's losing and he's giving us maybe too much and then walking things back. It's just like...
But it seems like it looks like it's he's overwhelmed, unprepared, and that's...
Does he seem overwhelmed?
Well, no, no.
No, that's the narrative, though.
Yeah.
It's an easy narrative in the walking... Like, again, if and you use it to... The big thing was he tried to get away from Bill, right? He tried to do the opposite of Bill. And to Wiggy's point, the players do not care about any of this stuff. There's not one guy in any of these locker rooms in the city that are saying, did you hear what Coach said on talk radio yesterday afternoon? Like, can you believe he's doing, like, guys are worried about their job and focused on doing what they're doing. And the only time they're worried about what a coach says is when they're in their office and they're getting yelled at or being told what to do. The contrast is so different. I'm like 30,000 feet tall. This I listen to everybody in the morning. I listen to you guys, and it is one thing where if you the looser you talk in this world, the more you open yourself up to.
Yeah,
right.
And it's very obvious in this contrast over the last 18 months, just in this building, of what it was and what it is now, and how different the narrative is. And there is a way to probably rein it back, say a little bit less, just to not have to deal with it. And again, as the leader of the face of a corporation, if you'd want to bring it to the corporate world, less controversy is better typically.
But like looking in Twitch right now, RJ Santo 9458, he's in way over his head, not enough experience. He wasn't even a coordinator.
Right, and that's because of more about what he's said, right, and walking things back, where like, okay, he's in over his head. Well, that's because of the things, kind of him sticking his foot in his mouth. When you, if he didn't say those things, you would look and you go, okay, all right. You look at his in-game adjustments, or you know, lack thereof, or how they scheme up things, and then you would be critical on that. But you would lean more towards maybe they don't have the talent. You know, so maybe let's see what he looks like next year when they have the talent. The defense isn't as good. Maybe it's because they don't have the talent. But when he says these things and he has to walk them back, then it's like he's in over his head because he doesn't have the experience.
So then looking at what to do for next season, who's number one on the chopping block that you would say it's time probably to part ways when it comes to coordinators, Elliot Wolf?
I would say that their biggest issue is going to be is DeMarcus Covington.
Yeah.
Because even if you're not a huge Alex Van Pelt fan, you can at least say Drake May looks the part, and he looks like he gets better a little bit every single week, and he's not making the same mistakes. So you can give that credit to Van Pelt.
Yep.
On the defensive side, you might say, well, you know, Gerard didn't trust DeMarcus Covington to be the defensive coordinator, and the defense doesn't look good. They struggle. They can't really get after the passer. They get ran all over. And so part of it is, does Gerard get more involved, or is it time for a new defensive coordinator? I think that, to me, he would probably be number one on the list. And Elliot Wolf, I think, isn't it really on Kraft?
Yeah.
Right? Is Kraft willing to spend money? And if so, Elliot, go get those damn guys.
Yeah. I just think that when you look at it all, people just want Gerard's head, and they've wanted it since week two.
Because he's been walking stuff back. Like, he sat in here with us and said Drake May is outperforming Jacoby Brissett. And then we'll say, well, why isn't Drake May starting?
Yeah.
And well, I didn't really mean it like that. He's outperforming him right now, but we look at it, you know, mini camp, training camp, a whole thing. We take all that in consideration. And then that's why people.
But that's not how he really feels, I don't think. I think that's the power at be that says, hey, you can't go out and say that if we're not actually starting Drake May at quarterback. Like, I think that he says how he feels. Then he goes off air or off camera and is told, hey, we need to reel that in a bit. Like the burning some cash,
right.
The Drake May's outperforming Jacoby.
But it's a bad look on him.
Yeah, but he's taking the bullets.
But that's why people don't see it that way. They see it like Gerard saying things and then walking those things back. That means he don't know what he's doing or it's too much for him, because if you knew what you were doing, you wouldn't be saying these things, or if you had the experience. And that's where it comes to this whole he's not experienced, he's in over his head. That's the reason why. It's more because he's putting his foot in his mouth and people are like, well, if you're doing that and you're still having some issues like on the field, he's not ready.
And especially here, if not everywhere in the football world or in pro sport world, but especially in here, it's completely accepted not to ever hear the truth.
Yeah.
Patriots fans have completely are okay with the fact they're never going to get the truth from Bill Belichick. They know it. Whatever right. he says isn't real. We've known that for 25 years here. So they think that they know how to run the media better than most other fan bases and it's the Patriot way. You don't tell right. anybody anywhere. I heard that for 20 years. The Patriot way is you don't tell anybody, you don't give anybody any weakness, and they see telling the truth and speaking with emotion as weakness, and that's why they're jumping
And that's the biggest thing about fans. Like we did it in hockey with Bruce Cassidy when he was talking about, you know, I don't know if he was like specifically talking about Jake DeBrusque or just guys not doing what they're supposed to be doing. We used to call it throwing guys under the bus, right? And we're like, well, you're doing with DeBrusque and Coyle and some of these lower level guys, but why aren't you doing it with Marchand or at the time Bergeron or Pasta? So it's like the way that you communicate in the media, fans are now going to look at you and go, oh, he's losing the locker room, yeah. or he's losing the dressing room. Or
he's inexperienced. Oh, that's not what a real experienced coach would do.
Right, right. And they did it, you know, like, Montgomery, he doesn't really know what he wants to do. He's not. So, and that's why people, when you talk as a coach, it's probably very, you got to really walk a fine line, because people will then criticize what you're saying more than how you're coaching the team.
Yeah. All right. Well, a little bit of an update for Gerard Mayo. He's going to join us between 9:15 and 9:20 this morning. So let's take a break now. I see Blair, Leo, Susan all on hold. We'll get to you after the break. The Greg Hill Show, Wiggy and the Woman with Razor. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. It is the final day before Christmas break for Wiggy and I. Shime will be in tomorrow. Who are you with tomorrow?
Me and Fitzy.
You and Fitzy. All right, yeah. I love it. Razor's here today. Jaden's here today. We've got a full house here. We're going to be joined by Gerard Mayo at between 9:15 and 9:20. But I see your call, so let's start with Leo in Ipswich. Leo, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How
morning.
Are you?
How you doing today?
Good.
Good. Hey, that was a great lead-in, because I'm hoping that next year our troubles are out of sight and this coaching staff and Wolf are gone, because I can't take this conversation today where Wiggy especially is trying to put words in everybody's mouth with the only issue is him walking back things. And no, the walking back is embarrassing for, you know, that he's doing that. But the issue is that the team is just not prepared. The team is not showing any improvement. The team is making mental mistakes that they've been making since day one. There's no accountability when people are fumbling, when people are making mistakes. The whole thing is embarrassing. It's just, it don't, you're trying to put pig on a lipstick. You're trying to put lipstick on a pig. He just doesn't have it. He doesn't, Wiggy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but is it that the team isn't good because they're not talented?
Well, it's not a matter of the team not being good. It's a matter of you can have the worst person on your roster. You can, you should be able to coach out mental mistakes. You should be able to have some type of improvement over the course of a year of people. I don't care if it's from, man, this guy is terrible, to, hey, this guy is just not good.
Well, your quarterback's improving.
Yeah, and that's Van Pelt, and that's the quarterback's capability. That's not Mayo.
All right, thank you, Leo. I think Leo speaks the way a lot of fans. I'm seeing in Twitch right now, the text line, a lot of people are saying, you know, Leo's spot on. So
right, but here's what I would say to a lot of these fans. Go look at Dan Campbell in his first year. There was probably a lot of mistakes that team was making. They won three games.
Yep.
Right? So.
And he said whatever he wanted. Campbell.
Right, but
the media was.
But this team wasn't very good going into this season. Mm-hmm. And so we're just seeing a first-year coach who's coaching a crappy football team that is lacking talent in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be mistakes made. There's going to be, like, when, you know, Vedarian Lowe is a turnstile left tackle. That's because he's not very talented.
Yeah, but there are some penalties that are avoidable, and it was like another penalty on Hunter Henry yesterday. Like, I think that's when people get frustrated when it comes to the coaches, and I understand Jerod Mayo said, mm-hmm. I can't do anything for them once they cross that line, but...
Yeah, but that's a holding penalty. That's
on the
player.
I know, but it's undisciplined. It's undisciplined.
No, that's on the player. I mean, you could be... Is Hunter Henry a disciplined player? Do we feel like he's disciplined, he prepares, he knows what he's doing?
Sometimes.
So you don't think Hunter Henry is
I think Hunter Henry is well prepared, but it is it's frustrating when it's week in week. Like, I also think Ramondre Stevenson is well prepared, but Shime's pissed at him for not being able to handle the football.
Undisciplined means you make boneheaded penalties, jumping off sides, penalties where you're not lining up right. You're not on the ball when you should be on the ball. Like, that's undisciplined. Like, a holding penalty, that to me is not undisciplined. We had this conversation. I asked Milbury this conversation, Razor, because the Bruins are one of the most penalized team in hockey. So, like undisciplined, and I don't know how to, like, relate it to hockey, but I feel like undisciplined is – too many men on the ice. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, if you're hooking or for slashing, like, that's not an undisciplined penalty.
Offensive zone tripping penalty is undisciplined. Yeah. When the guy's got to go 200 feet to score, he's not a threat in any way, and you go stick your stick in because you're being a little lazy. You don't get your feet moving.
Right.
Right. So that's an undisciplined penalty. There are too many men, stupid, undisciplined at times, if someone's taking a bad change. Like, some holding calls could be undisciplined at times, but this one in this scenario, like, you could call that on every penalty in the NFL.
Right.
Like, every play, I see that every play.
It just happened.
He kind of, the Buffalo Bill guy kind of fell.
Right.
He was holding him. He goes down. It's right in front of the ref. She throws a flag. That one, again, there's not a lot of coaching staff can do about that. It's a play that happens in the game.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, too many men, like, 12 men on the field on defense, that's undisciplined. Like, so when I see, like, the holding penalties, I'm like, all right.
And it also goes to sometimes it's talent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Talent, if you're not good at it, you take more penalties because you can't have the right technique or the right plays or your mindset's not the right. Like, a lot of that and some of that, and that can't always fall on the coach either.
Well, and I think that's the conversation. When I look at this football team, has Jerod Mayo made mistakes just strictly on the field as a coach? Yeah, I agree with the two-point conversion, maybe they're not as aggressive as I'd like to see them. Defensively, you know, I thought they were going to be much better. Are they doing a poor job of tackling? Are they putting themselves in bad positions? Like, yes, but I feel like somebody who is a first-year coach, coaching a team that's not very talented, would run into some of these mistakes. We brought up Mike Vrabel. I think maybe Vrabel might know – have a better hand on, like, dealing with the media because I've been a head coach before in certain situations like that. But I don't think this team is far better with Vrabel as the coach because I think they just lack discipline.
All right. Well, we have Gerard Mayo joining us in the next hour. He's going to be here between 9:15 and 9:20. So let's take a quick break here now, Shime, and we will be right back.